Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Robbie.
And that's it tonight. Ross had a prior engagement that came up last minute, which doesn't make sense because it can't be prior and come up last minute.
Yeah, it's
kind words of, are hard.
Yeah, it doesn't add up. But
yeah, words Ross, are hard.
We miss you. Hope all is well.
I know he is disappointed because I have so many things to talk about tonight. Some of which are, I know he's going to be getting later. So we're definitely going to hit those high points. Tonight, as always, we're socially distanced. Robbie is up in Wisconsin. I'm down here in Kansas City, even though we were just in person together.
Mm-hmm. It was good to see you, buddy. It had been a minute.
It had definitely been a minute. And you were so incredibly busy that's why we didn't record in person. Because we were roommates and I saw you a total of, what, 12 minutes?
Oh, it was a little more than that. But yeah, kind of running the show this year helped me, or not helped me, but required me to be a little bit more on the ground, moving around, driving a golf cart, just putting out fires when they can. But it was still fun. I think that's what, the third year we've been roommates together or something like that. Second time.
Yeah. Because I didn't come last spring because I had that content trip, which my background is from that content trip with the Adventure Van Company. So we've only 2 years now, but I am sad I missed that one in the spring because it was rainy and you guys drove the LX 600, which I haven't had a chance yet.
On street tires too. That thing was
it was
I don't even want to think about how much damage those, like, god, I don't know, 20 spoke wheels had. I think there were 19s or 20s on street tires. It was still pretty good though. I mean, that thing is a tank. And but yeah, thankfully we didn't have I don't think the weather could have been any better this year at a rally.
No, the weather was gorgeous.
Yeah, it was incredible. Track driving and off-roading, you know, even though it wasn't as precariously muddy as it was in the years past, the fact that it was dry and you could go a little bit quicker, and it was a great way to just like test the chops of a bunch of off-road vehicles that like a lot of people just haven't driven yet.
Yeah. And I don't know, like with the demographics of people that we have there, I don't know, like, the mud helps us. Mm-mm. Because I think it would terrify a lot of the neophyte isn't the right word, but people who are like driving off the road for the first time, like if we'd have thrown mud at them, they'd have just been like,
Yeah. Off-roading, I think in general at our MAMA events, and you know, for those who are listening, MAMA is the Midwest Automotive Media Association. It's a group of a couple hundred journalists, analysts, photographers, podcasters, and manufacturer reps located across the country, primarily in the Midwest, but across the country as well as into Canada too. But I feel like the off-road course, well, even like off-roading, even if you're not at the track, like at Road America, I feel like a lot of times people get intimidated by off-roading.
Exactly.
Which is understandable. I mean, you don't want to, you know, bash the mirror off a Ram Power Wagon or something like that. But I think that the course that we set up is really good in the sense of, like, if you've never off-roaded before, if you've never driven a tire over anything that's like pavement or asphalt, like, you can do so not only in a safe manner but in a slow and controlled way. And then you've got, you know, we have I don't know, 6-7 people from Jeep Jamboree out there helping people, teach people.
Yeah.
So it's a really good opportunity for people to, like, you know, get a little bit more comfortable off-road.
And that was, There were a number of people who I spoke with ahead of time that I was like, that's all I'm going to do. And they were like, really? We've never done anything. I was like, just pick one. Just go do it. You're not going to break anything. They're going to take care of you. Like, it'll be just fine. And then I talked to them later and they were like, I'm so glad I did. That was so much fun. It was like,
oh yeah.
I think the mantra I heard someone say is like, you can get a similar thrill off-roading as you can to the track driving, but at like way lower speeds with like way less risk.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I love driving at 100 plus miles an hour on Road America, like, it is an absolute blast. My favorite thing at this event is always the off-road course. I just think it's so much fun. I think it's really pretty. I think it requires a lot of concentration. And I mean, not to say that like going around Canada Corner at 60 miles an hour does, but you know, when you're off-roading.
Hold on, you can go Canada Corner at 60? Because that is not how fast I drove.
60 might be a stretch, but like 50 or so. But I mean, I think the off-roading course is always such a blast because like you're really focused, and I feel like you really get to like work on your agility driving some of these vehicles. And Yeah, I love the off-road course. I think if I weren't running the show this year, I probably would have spent 90% of my time on the off-road course. Just because we have like I think 16 or 17 vehicles or something like that on the off-road.
I drove 14 of them.
Wow.
I know that for a
Nice
fact.
job.
And I was kicking myself because one of the ones I didn't drive was like the 2024 Crosstrek, like the brand new Crosstrek. I
Which
was
was
like,
actually very good.
I know. And I just was like, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. I'll get
Yeah.
to it. Somehow I found my way into Compass Trailhawk, but didn't get into the brand new
Oh, that one's out
Crosstrek.
for a while now.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
that's
know.
no,
I was.
it's all good. I took the Crosstrek. They had a, I think it was a Crosstrek Sport. I think that's what one it was. But yeah, I took that out. I only off-roaded a couple of vehicles, but the Crosstrek was pretty capable. I mean, it doesn't have the same level of prowess as like a Crosstrek Wilderness, which I'm super excited to get behind the wheel of at some point. But I mean, I'll tell
Yeah.
you, for a bone stock Subaru Crosstrek, I mean, I don't know. Hell, I had a good time. I thought it was really capable. It didn't struggle at all. Not even one bit.
I was pulling up the Moroni eye real fast so I could give you the trim level.
I think it was a sport because it had the yellowish accents on it.
Think you're right, but it's of course how the Moronis are always listed. Yeah. It says Crosstrek Sport and it's a slashed RRD. I
I
don't know
don't
what
know
the
what else. The
RRD is.
only thing I could think of is if it was a pre-production model. It might have been a pre-production model. I don't know what RRD stands for. I've never seen that on a Monroney before,
Holy.
but could have been a pre-production.
I should have gotten in it because it was the cheapest vehicle out there. Cheaper than the Compass Trailhawk.
Well,
Like,
a Compass Trailhawk is pretty. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers, I think. Did you get the price on the Compass Trailhawk? That was probably high
it
hundreds, right?
was. I have it buried in my list of stuff. So the base price of the Compass Trailhawk was $35,745. As tested, $46,290. The Moroni on that Crosstrek is $32,000. So for $14,000 cheaper, or the price of a decent used car nowadays.
I mean, Jeep did I think Jeep, I mean, they just like, I think, refreshed the Compass last year, this past year. But I mean, they did a really great job on it. It looks great. The interior is wonderful. I mean, it's still a very, very hot seller for Jeep, you know, Prince builds for them essentially. But wow. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And what's funny is I see a lot of Compass and Cherokee Trailhawks just bombing around the suburbs, you know,
Yeah.
driven by people that I don't even think they know that they have all-terrain tires on there.
Probably not. Yeah. They're like, this looks capable. Let's do this.
Like, oh, there's a bump in the road to go to Starbucks. Okay, let's get a top triplet. No, I mean, it's not drag on the Compass Trailhawk. I drove a Renegade Trailhawk years ago on an off-road course, and I was genuinely shocked how fun and capable that little boxy thing was. It's
What's
actually
the
pretty
best?
cool. I was shocked.
The best off-roader is the one you care about the least.
I guess that's a good way to say it.
I mean, if I had a $500 Corolla, yeah, I could do a ton of amazing stuff in that.
You're lock and
Once.
dip.
I should say I should do a ton of amazing things once.
Yeah, your lock and dip on a $500 Corolla is just you yanking the e-brake back and forth a bunch of times and trying
100%.
to.
Momentum off-roading. Like, we can have a great time. So, speaking of momentum off-roading, the first one I want to talk about is the it's the first time I've been in the new Tundra was the TRD Pro. I have an image to go with this because it's very orange and very big.
Yeah, what is that color? Like lava burst orange or
Oh
something?
man, I closed that window. I don't have the Moronis pulled up anymore, but I know it's a big deal for them because every one of them is that orange. At least all the press ones I've seen are that orange anyway. But so positives I came away with, very competent power delivery. It was great on road. It was very smooth. So I think we had Doug DeMuro on. I shouldn't say I think we had. I know we had Doug DeMuro on, and he talked about the new Tundras basically being a lifestyle truck. They don't quite have the capability that Toyotas have been known for, but man, do they look like they do. And I don't think he's wrong with that, because like the only other positives I had, it was a very spacious cabin, very comfortable place to sit. It had a normal gear selector as opposed to something with buttons and moving things. It actually had the old school Toyota one. And that there were LED lights in the bed were all my quick positives. My quick negatives were like, it was wide on the tighter sections of the trail. Learning the powertrain, I was a little confused on when the hybrid was kicking in and when the turbo activated engine was kicking in. And then it only comes with a rear locker. Like, come on, it's the TRD Pro. Like, nope, only rear locker. And there's no factory winch option. Like, Ford has factory winch options. Ram has factory winch options. Jeep obviously has factory. Like, Toyota doesn't have a factory winch option yet.
Yeah, and when they do the trail, they're doing the Trail Hunter trim on the new Tacoma,
right?
Which don't believe has a factory winch option.
I think it does actually.
It does, okay.
I think the Trail Hunter does. So like, or if we got a, we've seen the Trail Hunter concept for a Tundra. We haven't seen that as a package yet for the truck itself. So potentially that's it. My only other gripe about this thing is the exhaust exit is not tucked up. So like,
gripes.
Departure angle is an issue on a full size pickup truck, and the exhaust is like hanging down below the bumper. Like, okay, but like, there were numerous other pickups that had that tucked out of the way. I think I even have a picture of it. Yeah, like it's way below. I mean, this one has the step too, so
it just kind of hangs down.
Yeah, it's definitely down there below. Like, if we're in Moab, we're definitely crunching that on a rock at some point. But you know, how many guys are going to Moab their Tundras?
I was going to say, like, I mean, I know that, you know, I think people kind of got freaked out a little bit when the new Tundra lost its leaf springs.
Yeah.
Yeah, like people got really concerned about that. And it's like, I mean, people aren't really towing a ton with their Tundra. And I feel like of all the Toyotas that, you know, are in the lineup, I mean, yeah, you will probably get some people off-roading a Tundra, but I mean, let's be honest, like the two big ones are the Tacoma and the 4Runner, you know? So absolutely. I think, yeah, see, like that interior is good. Like I had a Tundra, oh man, maybe a year ago. And
dude, they've been out a while. So like even reviewing this, I was like, I feel like I'm the last person to have a first impression of the Tundra. Like,
yeah, well, no, I mean, it's okay. I mean, you know, Toyota's also had its inventory problems. So, I mean, it's not like they're everywhere yet.
Right.
But, you know, I like the Tundra. I wasn't like wowed and super impressed by it. I actually kind of like the old truck better, to tell you the truth. But, you know, I think what the new Tundra has going for it is like, you know, that new cabin is great. I think the materials are a lot better. I love the new Toyota infotainment system. Whether that be on the Tundra or the new Crown or, you know, on the new Grand Highlander, Toyota did such a stellar job redesigning that infotainment system. It's clean, it's crisp, it's easy to use, and it finally feels modern.
Right. It finally looks modern too. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. 100% agree. I guess my one gripe I had, this is such a nitpicky thing because I'm a total sucker for like ergonomics. But I was bummed that they got rid of the old Tundra's like giant climate control knobs that you could use. I remember that was like one of the selling points. Was like, yeah, you can like leave your leather work glove on and like turn the air on, like without having to take it. I remember that was like totally a selling point of it. But you know, it's a good truck. It's not my first pick, but I don't know. People will buy them.
So, base price is $68,500 for the TRD Pro. As tested was $73,000.
I mean,
which 73 is the new 50.
Yeah, I was gonna say that doesn't like that's not super surprising for a full size truck these days, but I don't know, man. I'm content with my $7,000 Subaru Outback. I can't fathom spending $70,000 on a truck, but people do it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of actual trucks, I want to get this one out of the way just because it's so big.
Mm-hmm.
is the Ram 2500 Rebel we had.
Oh, I love that thing. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Do you? Because yes, I don't get
100%, 100%. Ram makes my favorite. I should be careful how I say this. Ram, it used to be Ford, but Ram, I think, now makes my favorite heavy duty truck. I had this, I had that exact same truck back in January, or February, for a week. And what's special about that one has the Cummins turbo diesel in it.
Right.
Which I think was $10,000 on the Monroney. It was really expensive to get that engine. But you're making almost 1,000 pound-feet of torque. In the week that I had it, I probably put, 300 miles, 400 miles of like highway miles on it. And I'll tell you what, that thing on the highway, even with like the all-terrain tires that are on it, because it's the Rebel, which is a new trim for the 2500 heavy duty. Sitting on the highway, I took it skiing. So I took it on a long ski trip and sitting on the highway at like 75 miles an hour with cruise control and that engine just like purring along. It was such a comfortable truck. I love the way it looks. I love the way it sounds. I love all of Ram's tech. Yeah.
The screen was huge.
The screen is huge, though. I do think that, I am getting a little bit tired with Uconnect. I think they need to start pushing Uconnect 5 out to a lot of these trucks, because I don't think that one has it yet. But yeah, I love the 25. That's probably truthfully been one of my favorite vehicles I've tested this year alone, was that 2500 heavy duty Rebel.
And I will point out, column shifter.
Yes, 100%.
That's not a thing in a lot of modern trucks.
It's not. It's just it's a very, very desirable truck. Like, if I had to go buy a new heavy duty truck, that's like the exact spec I would get right now.
So I think what messed with me is so many of the trucks I drove throughout this time have more off-roady suspensions, where this still has a workhorse truck suspension underneath it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it felt stiff being unloaded. Mm-hmm. Like it probably needed, what was it years ago? I was at Ford for an event years ago, and they had us drive a Super Duty dually. Mm-hmm. And they had these giant rubber mats in the bed to simulate a load, so you could actually feel the comfort of the truck while loaded versus driving it unloaded. Of course, they didn't have it unloaded. It was always loaded. But like, I feel like I kind of wish Ram had had a bunch of weight in the bed of it to kind of like smooth out some of those more harsh responses from the suspension. But it did have the engine brake on a button activated switch, which was kind of fun. So that was nice.
I think the Ram heavy duty diesel has that too, now that I think about it. That was an awesome truck. I love that truck.
It's so big. This one was $91,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say that was almost six figures. Been driving it on the off-road course where it just destroyed every obstacle that came into its face. Was interesting in the sense that I think I had to make multiple 4, 5, 6 point turns to get around some of the narrow obstacles. Cause I mean, that's a big boy and you've got a surround view camera on it, but
at least it's column shift and made sense. Yeah. Like when you got into something, you had to make sure you hit the right button and moved it the right way. And like, at least I knew what I was doing. I have way more experience driving big stuff because that's all I have, like the Suburban, the Sequoia. I only had to make a couple of 3-point turns. At those very tight spots, like going one way and then at the last one out. But like, I made that in the power, like there were multiple vehicles over that. I talked the Jeep guys into letting me take the power, I'm going to call it a power wagon. That's not what it is. The 2500 Rebel. They let me take it on the Rock Garden.
Nice. I bet that was fun.
And I was like, please, please, please. And then I got the two Jeep reps that were there, and I can't remember their names right now. I got their permission, so I didn't just do it on my own. And then they radioed back and they were like, hey, when the 2500 Rebel gets there, let them go through the Rock Garden. Robbie, I idled it up and then let the idle of the truck pull it across.
Sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
That's so
so you
good.
were probably like, I mean, you're probably bouncing around a little bit, but I'm sure it was just like very planted for the most part. Like,
100%. It
yeah.
was delightful in how easy it was.
Oh man, good for you. What do you got next?
I'm gonna skip the frontier because I feel like we've talked about it before, and my negatives with it are the same. The heavier ceiling feel, even though like this time it wasn't as bad. I think because I knew to expect it, I don't remember it being as heavy. So to me, it was like a, it was, I don't know if I'm more used to it. The resolution on the front and rear cameras is just god awful compared.
Yeah,
Like,
it needs
and
some
it's
work.
something that only comes to light when you're literally hopping between these vehicles so quickly. But like, it looks like night Windows 95 is the camera that has powered. Like, it's terrible, but it's a known issue. Like, the next up, the one I definitely want to talk about is the Chevy Colorado Trail Boss.
That's I will set this one out because I unfortunately did not get to drive that one, so I'll let you
Well,
take.
the Trail Boss, early in the morning, they were only letting us take the Trail Boss on the green course, which was the easier of the two courses. But about mid-morning, somebody went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, no, it can do the blue course too." And so that's when I actually got time in it. It was once you could go on the harder course. Things I like about it, very reasonably sized truck. It's not too big, it's not too small, it's very appropriate. The turbo four cylinder it has. So it's the same size engine. I want to say it's a two, it's either a 2.3 or a 2.7, but there are three different tunes for that engine. And the Trail Boss gets the mid tune, which means even if you're over revving it, you're ramping it up, you're doing whatever, there's still a higher tune package that exists. So you're probably not tasking the engine overall, but it was very torquey. It did a really good job. It pulled me through the rock garden. I didn't have to put a lot of throttle into it, which I appreciated. You do get sliders with it, with because of the Trail Boss. There's a tailgate storage compartment, which I liked.
Is that the one that's in the, like when you fold down the tailgate, it's that little pop thing that opens up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's genius. That's one of my favorite innovations I've seen this
Well,
year.
because like every Toyota guy ever has modified our lift gate or our
Yeah,
tailgates
that's
on
perfect. I
Land
love
Cruisers and Lexuses to do that anyway. So
that.
here it is from the factory. And
What
literally,
do
it's
you
just these little things are what releases it.
Oh, okay.
So once you fold it back down and you make those things go parallel with the line of the truck, it's locked. So moving those to the side is what would open that. What I'm curious about is if, like, don't put anything in there you really care about, because obviously, like, it's just a couple of things. It wasn't key actuated. So I don't know if you fully lock the truck, if the tailgate's unlocked, if that you can't get to it. I don't know.
That is a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really curious about that.
I have a feeling somebody has thought through that process because
Yeah,
it's Chevy.
it's a great looking truck too. I love the way the new Colorado looks.
So the outside looks good. I had some issues with the inside. Just kind of, it's there. It reminds me a little bit of Maverick, and I'm not a super fan of the Maverick interior. I know the Maverick interior is very spacious and it's very simplistic, which is kind of where I felt like this went to. It just took me a little time to get used to it. I didn't, the seat quality where there were, everything was cloth. I was like, wait, I bought a Trail Boss here. Like, I want the good stuff. And the rear seat legroom is a little limited, but that's where I'm just thinking about my giant children. So it's scraped more than most of the other vehicles on the blue hard off-road course. The only thing that drug more was the compass. And again, exhaust is not tucked out of the way. And the sliders, while they do protect the sides, they don't act as any kind of sidestep. Again, I've
Oh,
got
sure.
short people in my life, so I'm
Yeah.
always kind of thinking about, like, now also, like, there's a reason it drug a lot. It's not very high. So if it could have a little bit more lift. But overall, like, it's only 42. So
It's
I
a
feel
lot
like
of truck.
that's a
It's a lot of
solid.
truck. Not a lot of money.
Yeah, like, and turbo four, like, with a fun tune away.
I really like the design of those rock rails.
They're nice.
I think they look really, really cool. It's not just like the simple thin black ones you see on trucks. Like I like the
right. kind of,
you know, that, I don't know, what is that, a hexagon, a pentagon? The shape.
Sure. Trapezoid.
You know, it looks pretty. I think it looks unique. It looks like sporty.
So here's a fun question for you. Is Trail Boss one word or two?
Trail Boss is two.
Mm-mm.
No, it's gotta be two. Hold on.
Not according to the Maroni. Here's my favorite part. Is what? On the truck itself, it's listed vertically as two different words, trail and then boss. But if you look at GM's website, it is one word. Or Chevy's site.
Hold on. Because I'm seeing cars.com listings that have it as two words.
Chevrolet does not denote it as two words.
Come on. LTC7. Aha, yeah, it is. Two words. Trail Boss, sure. Baby. Go to build your own. Go to build your own.
Trail so Boss, this is my issue. Then the Maroni's wrong because it's one word on the Maroni that they gave us.
You should just take a red pen and
I'm gonna send a very strongly worded email to Chevrolet and never get another press card from wait, I've never had GM press cards.
you need to move somewhere out of the Great Plains.
You know, I used to get press cars.
Mm-hmm.
And just times have changed and people don't want to send them anymore. Which is funny because my audience now is way bigger than it was when I was pulling press cards.
Well, we'll try and see if we can get you in some again. I mean, I'd rather have you get press cars than like social media influencers.
Oh my God.
That sounds like, I don't mean to like badmouth them, but like, I feel like a lot of manufacturers are giving cars to literally anyone that has a social
a following,
even if they don't do anything with vehicles. Yep. So I think, yeah, we'll see if we can get you in some press cars, because I think you definitely, with the content that you produce, I mean, hell, what episode number is this?
One sixty-seven.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting closer to 200 episodes. You've had a lot of heavy hitters on your show as guests. You know, I mean, we'll see what we can do. I'll see if I can rattle some cages and try and get.
We got 3 years worth of content at this point.
Exactly.
So next up is the Chevy Silverado ZR2 AEV Bison, which I think is the longest name of anything I drove.
Wait, I didn't know they had the AEV Bison there.
Yeah.
Oh, so, crap. I thought it was just a Silverado Trail Boss. I should have known this.
No, Silverado ZR2. And then you get the AEV Bison package.
Yeah.
Which the AEV Bison edition is only it's $7,800.
Mm-hmm. That's steel bumpers, unique wheels.
You get the AEV front and rear bumpers, you get the AEV mm-hmm. wheels, and there is an upgraded suspension, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the size of the tire is also up as well.
Shoot. I wish I could have.
So quick things I pulled off it real fast. Obviously, 6.2 liter V8. Oh my gosh. So good. There's hard recovery points integrated to the front and rear bumpers, so you don't have to go grab something. The exhaust is actually tucked out of the way. Mm-hmm. Again, sliders, front and rear locking differentials.
Mm-hmm.
More than the Tundra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're technically a little more expensive than the Tundra because that was in the low 70s. This is coming in at 82. I did take photos of the exhaust tucked out of the way. Because it actually is tucked. Mm-hmm. And now of course there it is from the side. I should have organized my albums a little better.
Oh, nice. Yeah. You can totally see the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Up out of the way. To be honest, the only thing that's going to drag back there is going to be your spare or your hitch.
Mm-hmm. That's a great shot. Nice job.
Thanks. I try to do good work.
Mm-hmm.
So your front rear lockers, you have downhill cruise control or the crawl control. It's a very spacious cabin. Mm-hmm. My favorite part, ample cup holders surrounding the driver. Call it dad mode, call it what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have access to at least four cup holders around. So, and you have adequate leg room in the back. My negatives though, the hood bulges. And I tried to take a photo of them and I don't know if I did it justice.
Does it block your vision when you're looking off to the side, like on the fenders?
Yeah. Like if you're trying to like look out over the edge of the hood, it rides up a little bit. And
LX has that too.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's weird just because like it's bulgy on the hood, but then it's not, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. I got kind of a close from a three quarter here. There's these two black bulges in the middle.
Yeah.
That rise up, but then like the hood itself, there's like a ridge of the white here as well. Mm-hmm. So like as it falls away. But the part that drove me nuts, and I'm gonna give you the whole photo album here.
Mm-hmm.
Is nope, that's did I not shoot the underside of the hood? There is nothing on the under the side of the hood that makes those bulges need to be there.
Just the styling thing.
Yeah. It's literally like the throwback to the cowl hoods from the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah. It's definitely an interesting like design trend these days. I mean, like a lot of trucks and SUVs are doing that where they do like the kind of the domed hood, but off to the sides where it's like kind of like flat in the middle, but like domed on the sides. So yeah, you can kind of see. Yeah, yeah, just like that. Just like that.
Yeah.
Got like
so they have these bulges. You know what? If it was making room for the engine, I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the bottom of the hood, there is no, it's perfectly flat across the whole bottom of the hood. Like there's no indentation at all.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, so it's about to go. You got some fire department going by. So it did take me a little bit to get used to the gear shifter on this thing. It was buttons and like, so obviously park, but then reverse is down on the side. You got to hit the button to put it in reverse. 3-point turns were not fun in this while I was in the woods.
You're like trying to figure it out. Like what was going on?
Yeah. And I'm sure more time with it, I would figure it out better.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a pain in the butt, but yeah. For coming in low 80s, crazy capable.
Mm-hmm.
So if you should call Chevy, you should need to get some time for that one. You need to road trip that one.
Right? Yeah, no, that'd be fun.
Yeah. Next up is my freaking all-star. It was my favorite thing I drove the whole time. And my pictures, I don't think I have good pictures of it. Because when I went to take pictures the second morning, it was set aside and we were not allowed to touch it for whatever reason. But the F-150 Raptor R.
That's a great shot.
Thanks.
Dude, you gotta post some of these to Mama, man. That's a great shot. Look at that.
Part of it was I was writing notes and scribbling and running, and they were like, social media contest. And I was like, I'll do that later. And just never got to.
It's tricky. I mean, there's a lot going on, and like it's hard to, you know, if you post on the fly, you kind of miss out on stuff. But
yeah,
those are some great shots.
Thank you. 111,935.
Yeah.
5.2 liter supercharged V8. So I did a video with Zach in this truck.
Mm-hmm.
I drove it and he was like, come drive it with me. We'll do a video. And I was like, we don't have a script. We have nothing. Like, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, so, you just one take it?
Yeah, we did a quick one take. And pretty much I ended the video in like the first 15 seconds because he was like, what do you think? And I was like, this is amazing. That's all you needed. And he stopped the video. So Zach, with his good sense of humor, did his fake credit roll and then actually launched into the rest of the video. But holy crap. And like, I know we just talked about 5.2 supercharged V8 and it matters. It's a big deal. The suspension on a Raptor is so good. And I know like TRX Raptor, like there's an argument about like, what's the more thing that matters? Is it the engine? Is it the suspension? Like, and this truck and every other Raptor I've driven, it's always been about the suspension. Because you don't feel anything. It soaks everything up. I drove so fast.
Yeah.
On like, I tried to be appropriate about where I burst the speed off road in this thing because I didn't want to risk anybody. Like, I didn't want to risk the guys on the course. I didn't want to risk running into anybody else. Like, I tried to be a mature adult. But as soon as you get in this thing, it is absolutely hilarious and so much fucking fun. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, I think what's I drove the last Raptor, like last generation Raptor, and then I had a TRX a while ago. But
yeah,
I mean, the TRX is just a silly truck. Like, I just don't get. I mean, I understand why they did that because they need to have bills to pay for EV development and stuff. But like,
right.
The Ram 1500 TRX is such a silly bro truck. And as glorious as that supercharged V8 is, I would probably rather have the Raptor because I'm sure it gets more than 8 miles per gallon, you know?
I can't attest to that.
Get to I don't know what fuel economy is, but like, you know, the F-150 Raptor R with that V8, I mean, how much horsepower is that? That's probably high fives?
That's a good question. See, this is the more in-depth things I need to write.
No, you're good, but like, I mean, Ram TRX, I mean, you're north of 700, and it reflects that in the fuel economy that you get. And again, obviously, so you're not buying
Raptor R is 700 horsepower as well at 6,650 RPMs.
Jeez, I need to get caught up on my truck specs. I'm slacking.
So this did come up in the video that I did with Zach, where he was like, I drove a TRX. He goes, I absolutely giggled at it. And I was like, I know why people enjoy it. Mm-hmm. The supercharger whine and the TRX is so loud that I'm so much of an old man now that after 5 minutes, and I drove it with Tom, who you already did a podcast with today. Mm-hmm. And Tom was like, it's pretty loud. And I was like, it's too loud. Like, where the supercharger and the Raptor are, you can hear it if you like want to.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I didn't really hear it.
Sure, sure.
And I find the Raptors reasonably sized after being in a TRX.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which sounds very odd to say.
TRX is just gigantic. I got it stuck in my bank's drive-thru when I had it. I was trying to go through that. And I was that one jackass and like a bro truck, and you know, I was trying to go into the drive-thru, I think, to use the ATM or something, and the tires just got stuck because it was too wide for the. It was so embarrassing. You're like trying to put it in reverse, and you're like, because remember, it makes a supercharger noise in reverse too,
right? The next one I want to talk about is also V8 powered.
Mm-hmm.
And it, I feel like it's old news, but the Rubicon 392 20th anniversary, mm-hmm. it's still good. It's
which
still
was good. Crowned, that was picked as our mama's favorite off-roader this year for the rally.
Which, and I totally understand why people pick it. The Raptor R is better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's huge, but it's better. Mm-hmm. It's my personal take.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But first of all, things that Jeep get right, the ability to have the key holder between the two cup holders. So you just put your key in it. So when you're out on the trails, you mm-hmm. can hop in and out of the truck. It's not that big a deal. The key is always right there. It's got a specific place. It doesn't rattle.
That's a good point. That makes sense. Yeah.
That's a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a huge thing. It is a thing. Mm-hmm. The engine noises and the power in the field do all the things you want it to do in a 392. The sway bar disconnect is crazy easy to use. Put it in four mm-hmm. low, hit the button. It mm-hmm. disconnects. When you go fast, though, it will reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Even in four low.
After what, like 25 miles an hour?
Yeah, it was like 25 or 30 miles an hour. It was like... Yeah.
I can't imagine driving 45, 50 and having your front sway bar just loose. Like, oh, yikes. Nope.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that's low.
My only negatives to the truck, obviously, are the price. Because mm-hmm. the one we drove was $95,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oof. Yeah, buddy,
that's a lot of money.
That is money, especially when you consider a base Wrangler is what, in the mid 30s
or so?
I'm trying to do this all off just shooting from the hip, like
I don't know if it's mid 30s anymore. I mean, like, just like a Wrangler Sport, probably like a two-door.
Yeah.
Let's Wranglers. Quickly go into jeep.com.
Let's see.
Build and price. I'm not building the Wagoneers. Which, that's adorable that they even have those on there. It's like, you should build these. No, That's a house cost.
That is a house cost.
Yeah,
24 sport two door.
It's 31.8.
So just to give you an idea, you're looking at a difference between 31,000 all the way up to almost 100 grand. That's a huge difference. Like just the range of that. I wonder if you could still get the Postal Service Jeep. You used to be able to get the Postal Service.
Oh, the right hand drive one?
Yeah. Let's see if they have it for 2023. Wow, they have
not seen it.
High tide. No, I don't see it anymore.
Maybe dude, the high, like, my favorite part is there's somebody near me with a high tide Jeep and that green color that's on the website. And I see him all the time. I was like, oh, tide coming in. Like, you know how far away we are from the tide?
I liked when they did the, what was the, there was one other, the Islander. Do you remember they briefly did the Islander? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that. That was my favorite special edition Jeep that came out like a year ago.
Yeah, it was right when High Tide came out.
Yeah, yeah. It was so cool. I'm a sucker for the old Wrangler Islander, like with the like little like Polynesian logo.
TV yeah.
Logo. Oh, I'd give a kidney to have one of those. I think they're so cool.
Well, you've seen the Gold Dragon edition, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay. There is somebody here in town.
Have you seen the Call of Duty Modern Warfare
edition? Yes. But they have the Gold Dragon Jeep, but with they've taken the dragon off the side. And I was like, I know what that is. Like, just because you pulled the dragon, like, I know you have the most racist Jeep. Like, I'm aware.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's good. The next one I have is also another Jeep. Actually, my other negative was the suspension on the 392 doesn't soak up as many bumps as the Bronco Raptor.
Mm-hmm.
Which we can talk about Bronco Raptor real quick. My pictures of it also suck because for whatever reason, both Fords were parked the second day and I couldn't go take pictures. Mm-hmm. Did I share the correct screen?
Yeah.
I hope I did.
Boy.
It is, first of all, it's only $77,000,
mm-hmm.
which sounds ludicrous as a price by itself. But when you compare it to 95,000 of the 392,
mm-hmm.
that's an 20 grand's a big deal all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with you there.
So the interesting thing about the Bronco Raptor was I'd driven it and mm-hmm. I chased Joel when he got into the Bronco Raptor and I hopped into the 392 and I was like, you know what? We're going to chase each other around this little off-road course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could go so much faster because of the way the suspension just soaks all of the difficult stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I love driving it. It was so quick.
Yeah.
Like the Raptor R, I drove the fastest around the whole course. This mm-hmm. was second fastest.
Nice.
My only issue with it, though, is like the off-road camera would turn off when I was going too fast. And I was like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing stuff. You stay on.
Like, they need to figure out a way, and I'm sure it's some antiquated, you know, NHTSA federal mandate that
probably
no mandate ever has used it before, but they need to figure out a way to give an exception for like when you have an off-road mode engaged. I don't know if it's
if
like,
four lows on, leave yeah, me four alone. Lows
on that the off-road camera stays on because yeah. like I know that some vehicles it'll stay on up to a certain amount of speed, but like after 15-20 seconds it cuts out and it's like, you know, or if you have the surround view camera. When I drove the Pat with the 2500 Rebel, like that was, I was trying to use the surround view camera. And every time I shifted in reverse or drive to make a 3-point turn, I had to go back into the menu and find the surround view camera. Like I wish that there were easier, like an easier cadence where it's just like you turn it on once, or if you are, you know, driving on an off-road course, like if you're up in the North Woods, like bombing around through some trees, you've got a chance to, oh yeah, there you go. You know, you can leave that camera on for a couple minutes at a time and it doesn't like, you know, they've got to figure something out for that.
Right. But it
is that Cactus Gray or Area 51?
Oh man.
I think it's, I'm trying to tell, I think it's Cactus Gray.
I think it's Cactus Gray. I think you're right. But like,
it's so cool. Look at that thing.
It just moves through everything.
Yeah.
And I felt like he took that slow. He could have gone so much quicker than that. Like,
that's awesome.
So if I'm buying one, I'm buying a 390Z Wrangler.
Oh man. I haven't driven the 392, but I mean, I've driven more than a handful of Wranglers, and I've driven the Bronco. I love the Bronco. The Wrangler to me is still so, even though it's like unstoppable off-road, it is so uncomfortable day to day. I couldn't have one as a daily driver. Like, I just,
oh God, I can't either.
It's an awful highway car. I mean, the Bronco is not, leaps and bounds better by any chance, but like with the Wrangler, you're constantly making those adjustments in the steering wheel on the highway. There's like no active lane keeping assist or following assist.
No, none of that.
Now, whereas I feel like the Bronco, like my wife and I did it was probably 4.5 hour round trip, highway trip in the Bronco when I had it, and it was infinitely better on the highway.
The one thing that still, and I don't know if it's a quirk, the hard tops on the Broncos in off-road conditions creak and groan.
Oh, interesting.
As you're going through, like, I've never heard it. Now I didn't hear these Jeeps,
right?
But the Bronco Raptor did it, and the ones I were in last time were pre-production. I remember the last time I drove them up there. They made a point to say these are pre-production.
It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. But my winner of everything.
Yeah. 392 20th.
No, it's not the 392.
What is
it's
that?
It's the Rubicon 4xE 20th anniversary AEV.
Yes.
This is the longest name of everything I drove. Because that it's technically 2023 Jeep Wrangler Rubicon 4xE 20th anniversary AEV.
I feel like I must have missed so much, either because I was running around or people were... I don't remember seeing that Jeep at all there. I feel terrible.
Really?
No, seriously. Like, every time I went to the off-road course, I did not see it. It must have been, like, taken out or something like that.
But... So, we had Nina Barlow on the show. Got it. In actual time, probably about a month ago, in episode time, I'm not sure. and she has dominated Rebel. I shouldn't say dominate. She has won Rebel Rally in a 4xE Wrangler before. She was talking about how she's driven the 392s, but she actually feels like this is the quickest Wrangler that exists because you can put it in e-saver mode, which turns on the turbo four cylinder and the EV motor kicks in. And off the line, and I did what she told me to do, put it in for auto, put an e-saver on, and then launched it. And I launched it on the dirt and had so much fun.
Oh, I bet.
Was so quick for an electric vehicle. But again, you can put it in full electric mode, which is how I actually completed the course, was in full electric mode, had an absolute blast, did everything I wanted to do. No engine noise. You get the whine of the electric motor now because everything is required to make some noise, right?
Yeah.
But again, sway bar disconnects in this one. You get a forward facing view camera with tire tread line. So even though you're looking on the camera, it will show where your tires are going to go. Amazing. Same slot in the cup holder for the Jeep key. The only negative I had on this truck was that it cost $75,000.
Yeah, well, you got to remember too, like the 4xE just off the get-go is quite a bit more expensive than a regular Limited, and I'm sure, yeah, adding all that stuff onto it,
yeah,
raises that price particularly. Are those, let me see if I can get my numbers here, are those 35s?
I think at least 35s, if not 37s.
That's such a badass looking Jeep.
But it's AEV wheels, you get the AEV front bumper with the winch, there's a rear bumper as well. You also get suspension component upgrades. I took photos of those. You get AEV suspension components, which are, I believe these are the back.
Yeah, look at those.
They're Bilsteins, I think. They're AEVs, but with Bilstein. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had the fronts with the springs as well that I captured. Mm-hmm. And you could actually see the Bilstein logo from this angle.
Nice.
It's little, but super quiet truck, super fun truck, very comfortable in an off-road situation.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have time to drive stuff on the road at all.
Yeah.
as much as I want to, like, and I know, like, we're coming up on lengthy time. The only other thing I would talk about, I drove a bunch of SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
So Honda Pilot, I still have it as Trail Boss in my notes, Trail Sport, Honda Pilot, Trail Sport.
All these sub brands get confusing after they all sound the same. Trail Sport, Trail Hunter, Over Trail. It's like
Pathfinder, Rock Creek.
Mm-hmm. It's still way better than the last one.
It is.
I think it's still way, I love the Pathfinder. I think it's a great family vehicle.
My only issue with it was the traction control, stability control was nannying me when I was off road. And I was like, how do I turn you off? Like, go away. And I couldn't get it to turn off. Mm-hmm. But the one I liked the best was this Kia Telluride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the reason is because I couldn't tell. Mm-hmm. Like, the Telluride.
I went for a ride in that with you, and we took it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. I do remember. I was remarkably comfortable.
And it doesn't look like anything from the outside. If you were like, oh, that's the off-road X Pro. Like, no, it just looks like a Telluride.
Mm-hmm.
It does have the Continental Terrain Contact all-terrain tires,
mm-hmm.
which I am unfamiliar with. I drove them on the Kia and the Honda Pilot had the Continentals,
mm-hmm.
Which I don't have an issue with Continental tires at all, but I just were unfamiliar with them.
Yeah. Can you pull the full screen?
Which part?
The picture.
Am I not big enough? Whoa.
Maybe I'm not doing this. Hold on.
Oh, are you not full screen?
That's a good shot. Yeah, it's nice that they... I don't know, because like when you know, if you look at Hyundai's XRT trims and they have that on like Santa Fe, they have that on Palisade now, I believe, like they add a lot more styling tweaks, but purely styling, nothing mechanical. You still get street tires, you still get same old suspension. I like the approach Kia took here. I do wish there was maybe just a hair a bit more styling differentiation, just to make it look, because it's such a rugged, confident looking vehicle to begin with. You know, maybe put a different grill on it, or
which I think it does get a little like this grill, the silver down here, mm-hmm. I don't think is normal for the Tellurides.
Mm-hmm. And but, I think the LED fog lights and the grill are probably exclusive to that trim.
Yeah, there. And I took the ground clearance photo. I was like, there's none. These weeds are not that tall.
but then again, at the end of the day, you got to remember though that like 90% of the people that buy that X Pro, they're just going to be doing like soft off-roading.
So right.
That's probably all they need. I mean, there's only like half an inch suspension lift. Did they do any suspension lift on that?
I couldn't find anything in the materials that I was looking up.
They might have just thrown ATs on and added a skid plate or two and called it a day.
I don't know that I saw skid plates underneath. Other than the normal one in the front. But what I will say is like it was the most comfortable ride mm-hmm. of any of those SUVs. Mm-hmm. It was so refined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the Pilot was not bad. The Pathfinder, they were not bad. They didn't mm-hmm. ride bad. Mm-hmm. This just rode better. It was mm-hmm. very comfortable. And it doesn't have the best engine. It has the least amount of power. It has the least amount of torque out of that V6,
mm-hmm.
which is starting to get pretty aged as V6 engine goes.
Yeah, they need to... I'm very curious to see what they're going to do when the next... Oh, I mean, we've got EV9 coming, but like the gas Telluride is going to be around forever because they can't sell those quick enough. But yeah, I'm curious to see what they do for the powertrain, because like Kia doesn't have a V8 right now.
Nope.
Remember they used to make the Borrego with a V8?
Yeah. There are Boregos by me still that I see all the time and want to take pictures. And
that was a body on frame vehicle too, which is nuts to think about. But
yeah. But no.
Oh yeah, there you go.
If you're in the market, I highly recommend the Telluride.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, James.
That was actually, and you know what? For our Mama's Favorites Award, everyone that attended the rally who voted, they picked that as the Mama's Favorite Family Vehicle of the Year Award. So that was kind of neat that the Telluride beat out, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50 other vehicles that...
There was a lot.
Yeah.
The Rolls didn't win?
No. $475,000 for that Rolls Royce Ghost, the black badge. I mean, that was pretty. That was a pretty sexy car, but like, man, that's two times the amount that I just paid for a house, which is just nuts. You know, it's
right, exactly.
Like, good God. But hey, you know what? If you got the funds and you know how to do the tax loopholes, I mean, more power to you, and you can have one of those.
So. Do you want to talk GX real fast?
Yeah, we can talk.
Because we are very late.
Yeah. So I was in Austin, Texas last week for the debut.
What?
The Lexus GX, which was completely redesigned, as well as the new TX. And the TX, we'll just 10 seconds span on that. The TX is essentially a Grand Highlander badged as a Lexus, a lot more posh, a lot better, you know, a little bit unique styling elements just to make it, you know, blend in with the Lexus language. But Lexus hasn't had a dedicated three row. This is their three row offering. That's an actual three row. I'm 6 foot two, and I found the back seat to be very, very dramatically better than the three row RX that they used to offer. So yeah, that's the TX that goes on sale this fall. But the vehicle that I think really stole the show was the new GX. And you know, there are lots of teasers of it we saw for weeks, and then, you know, somebody leaked out images. But you want to talk about a knockout product. I mean, look at that thing. I mean, it is
so ridiculously badass. Premium, even though this image is tagged Overtrail. This is not the Overtrail.
That's not the premium. That's the premium.
This is the Overtrail.
Yep, correct.
So I don't like the Overtrail in this color.
Oh, you don't? That's a great color for it. Kind of that tan. Like,
I don't like the lines and the way, like, there's, like, I know this is a shadow, but like, there's a line.
Yeah, it really shows off the character lines on it.
Mm-hmm. But when I look at it in this color,
mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the boxier shape. I enjoy it from the back as well. Like, it,
mm-hmm.
It feels like we got a modern 70 series wagon, but it's a Lexus.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. That was actually my first thought when they pulled the covers off of it was, you know, I was amazed by not only how like boxy and bold and commanding it looked, but I was like, man, this thing's got kind of a retro kick to it. I mean, it's got it's got such a desirable silhouette, regardless of from what angle you view it at. I mean, it is, I think compared to the outgoing GX, which was on sale for well over a decade.
Forever?
Yeah, literally forever. I mean, the new GX, it looks incredible. And it's not going to be a volume seller by any means for Lexus, but the ones that they do sell, they're going to make a lot of cash on. And I think the two biggest things that I think are worth talking about are the fact that the V8's gone.
So
that old tired V8 is gone, which, I mean, do take how you want it, but like in place is the same engine that's in the Lexus LX, and that's that twin turbo 3.4 liter, which is a rocket, especially off-road. So that's there. So what's up?
And it's the global platform, so like everything shares. Yeah.
So that's
like Tundra, Sequoia, LX, GX,
Tacoma. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, that just goes to show how I think promising of a platform that is, that you have literally all the way from the Tacoma, base Tacoma, all the way up to a six-figure Lexus LX. I mean, and it's rugged, it's durable, it's that body on frame, it's that ladder frame. I'm sorry, it's that ladder type architecture. I mean, it's just, it's
now is a perfect time for Lexus to take the GX and make it, again, as much of a body on frame, badass, tough, tall, commanding, boxy looking off-roader. I mean, I'm super excited about it. It's interesting too, because it debuts this new, they call it Project Overtrail, or the Overtrail Project. And essentially, yeah, it's the first time Lexus has had a dedicated off-road trim for one of their products. And, you know, as we know, and I know you've seen them, I've seen plenty of them, but people do off-road their Lexuses, you know, like Lexi.
What?
Lexi. I've seen plenty of GXs. I mean, you know this, like LXs. I've even seen RXs on all-terrain tires that actually look surprisingly good. But yeah, the new Overtrail, it's offered an Overtrail and Overtrail Plus. And you get Toyo Open Country all-terrain tires. I was just writing about this today, so I'm going off memory. Toyo Open Country all-terrain tires. Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
That's my Lexus off-road.
Look at that. God, I love that roof rack too, that full rack. That's badass.
It is handy. It just needs a rooftop tent sitting on top of it if anybody's got one that they're not doing anything with. Jeff. Wait, no. Jeff uses his. That's not okay. I shouldn't call him out for that.
But no, Overtrail would be cool. I mean, you do get a rear locker. You get the kinetic. Yep. Advanced suspension,
which is an EKDSS.
Yep. EKDSS. You get the, you know, multi-terrain select, downhill crawl control. You get the unique styling tweaks, a couple nice things on the inside, skid plates. Yeah, I think it's badass. It makes me wish I made more money, because that would be a super
right cool
everyday car. And the thing I keep telling people is, more so with the Lexus GX than the new Sequoia that came out, but, you know, if and when, and that's in a big quotations, if and when Toyota does give us another Land Cruiser, I would be willing to bet you that a lot of what you see on that GX is going to be exactly on the Land Cruiser, except Toyota language. Yeah, I mean, it's so cool. I was really amazed. I mean, it's really a complete departure from the last GX when you look at it from
100%. First of all, we got rid of the Predator grill.
Yeah. Oh man, it looks so good without it. I do. It's funny though, when you look at the side silhouette of the new GX, because it's wider, it's taller. I can't remember if it's longer, but it does have much shorter overhangs compared to the last GX for, you know, better departure and approach angles. But I think what's funny is, like, when you look at the very back of it, like that one shot I have where you're like looking right at the back, that box for all your towing equipment is gigantic. It's like the size of my laptop, and to me it reminds me of it. it's like a reset button. You just, like, you know,
it is a big button. Like,
it's a big button. Yeah. And I think that's, like, the one thing I would change is I would maybe figure out a way to, like, blend that in or take that off. But I mean, look at it. And the rear glass lifts up, which is important to call out too, because that's,
does this count as a button here on the side?
I think that is a button on how it opens it up.
I think that's a GX thing, is the button was always on the side, because it used to be the swing door.
Yep. Yeah,
that's now a lift gate.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's worth noting too. It's now a lift gate that lifts up, and the GX still will offer three rows of seats, but in the Overtrail trims you can only get two, and that's why, like, you get that gigantic trunk when you have the only the two. Yeah, so that's the Overtrail. So that's, yeah, with that fold down.
That's the second row that's folding there. Three anchor points though. Just saying, three screamers in the back. There you go.
Family vehicle. I really wish that, and maybe it's, I don't know. Obviously, like, we have to learn pricing. The GX also doesn't come out until like Q1 of next year, so we've got plenty of time. But I really hope that, I mean, God, Toyota better do it with the next 4Runner. But it'd be cool if the GX had it too. One of my favorite features in the industry is that pull-out sliding cargo shelf in the 4Runner. Yep. I wish every vehicle had that. I mean,
so mine didn't slide out. It was a tray on my, was that a fourth gen?
Did it have a handle you pulled?
No, it would just, you would actually move it in and it would create space up, and then you could lock it on the sides and it created like this.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that was more like a, that sounds like it was more of like a shelf, like an adjustable shelf. But yeah,
it was like a parcel tray, basically, if you wanted.
The current Forerunner has it where it's literally on rails on the side.
You can just slide out.
Yeah, and you can actually sit on it too, which is neat. So like you can just like pull it out and pop your butt on it and put on some hiking boots or something like that. I love that feature. If I could pay extra to have that on my old Subaru, I'd do that. It's just genius. Makes life.
That was one of the selling points on the adventure vans. They had this gear slide, and people would be like, "Well, you can, you know, you can slide it out, and you can sit on it or whatever."
Yeah.
Until like owners would like back their van up to a quarry and then use that as a diving board. They would extend that out the back.
That's hilarious.
They were like, yeah, so that's no longer approved. Like you have to sign a liability waiver, like if you're going to do that. So
that's so funny. I never thought of that.
Adventurous people buying adventurous products are going to do silly things.
I was going to say though, that makes some sense.
I did find photos of your fifth gen tray though. I don't know if that's factory though, the ones I'm looking at. They all look like they're I know there's a factory version, but like the ones here, it is. This is the one that actually is branded.
It is a factory accessory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is branded Forerunner. The other ones I think were like used by somebody else.
Yeah, that's factory. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah. So that's such a good thing. That is handy. If that was in the back of the GX, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. Again, we haven't seen the accessories yet for the GX, so you know, let's stay optimistic and hope.
Right. I did find somebody, of course, did a side by side with the Defender and the new GX.
Oh, I don't know. Given my money, I'd still take the Defender.
Oh, hard no.
Oh, it's so good. I love the Defender. It's such a good vehicle.
Good 4x4 controls are in the electric infotainment system.
That's true. I mean, the Meridian infotainment's good, but it's definitely a lot more layered than the Toyota one.
As much as I love the look of the Defender, and I have enjoyed driving one, I'm not trusting Land Rover electrics. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, a lot of them now have that BMW V8 in them, so they've gone to BMW propulsion. But yeah, they need to
not BMW infotainment yet. Which
yeah, you know, I would if you had to buy any vehicle for a 4x4, or just an SUV, to get dirty, regardless of if it's the most unreliable money pit, no money limit, what would you get?
I think I own it. I think 100 series.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, because I've taken into account, like, if I needed three rows of seats as well. I don't think I've driven my 80 series. And so, like, yeah, there's things that, like, visually are stunning. Like, Defender 90s and Defender 110s. Like, I don't, that's not an enjoyable space. That being said, like, a built 200 series is probably the best one. Because the 5.7 has 380 horsepower, where the 4.7 I think is 270, maybe 280 something in the Lexus, because they changed premium gas or whatever. Yeah, probably a V8 power 200 series. Just
nice. That's a good answer. I'd get a Range Rover from like the early 2000s to mid 2000s.
Yeah, see, I can't take the reliability part of it out of my brain.
That's certainly the challenge, because I mean, oh man, you want to talk unreliable cars, like old Jags and Land Rovers.
Exactly.
Some of them are better than others, of course, but like when I used to be a valet in college during the summer, I remember we were just getting Jaguars or Land Rovers that people bought for dirt cheap, and you know, you get in the car and like, and then like every check engine light was on and the suspension was sagging, because you know, you want to you know, it's looking flashy on a budget. That's why people buy them.
Yeah. Old Mercedes, old Land Rovers, old BMWs, old Audis.
My when I was in high school, I worked at a used luxury car dealership my senior year for a couple months, and that gave me full exposure to why you don't buy, well, no, why not why you don't buy, but why you have to be extra cautious about buying any old luxury car that's made, you know, outside of Japan. Because,
right?
Oh man, oof, good God.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, sweet, man. I think we did a show.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks for having me. It was good to chat.
Thanks for giving me more time.
Of course. You're good.
You give me tons of time lately.
I need to go do house stuff. So it's
yeah, you do.
Good to chat for a while. I always enjoy talking cars with you. It's always fun.
Is it almost still daylight by you? Because you're far enough north now.
No, sir. It is pitch black.
Okay.
That's all right. I've got lights in my lawn and I can do it all therapeutically.
Yeah, that's just the one thing I noticed when I was up there. I was like, why is the sun up at 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's once we get into more of like the middle of summer, I mean, you'll have daylight till 8-9 o'clock at night. But I think we're still slowly getting there.
You should be getting there quickly. We're only like a week away from a summer solstice.
I don't know. To me, summer started on June 1st, but I don't know. The whole solstice calendar is the one to follow. I just need to
Well, when I was teaching, and this is a little inside baseball people, I used to get so depressed once we passed June 21st. Yeah. Because I knew I was losing daylight every day, and I was on the downslope of the summer, and I was going to have to be back in school within 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I used to hate the month of July. Not teaching makes July more fun.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
In fact, now I'm just hoping to get all the kids back into school. So anyway. Mm-hmm.